Welcome back to the Armour Men's Health Hour with Dr. Mystery and Donna Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Armour Men's Health Hour. I'm Dr. Mystery, your host, here as always with my incredible co-host, Donna Lee.
No insult today?
Nothing.
Oh, couldn't think of anything quick enough?
Absolutely.
Okay. Move on.
This is a men's health show. I'm a board-certified urologist. This show is brought to you by the urology group that I started in 2007, NAU Urology Specialists. Donna, we have some amazing providers in our office.
We do, and they've been with us like forever. We have zero provider turnover, which I love.
So we have me. I've been in practice.
You can't quit, so.
I can't quit. My name's on the door.
You can't leave.
14 years is how long we've been in practice. Then we have Dr. Stacey Ong.
She's been with us 7-8 years now.
And she used to be like the entire department.
Sounds
at
terrible.
Breckenridge Hospital, the university trauma hospital that existed in Austin since the beginning of Austin, I guess.
If you've been in Austin long enough, you remember the word Breckenridge, and you would shudder. Your spine would shudder a little bit because you didn't want to go there.
Well, we loved that place. As a place to practice, it was a lot of fun. And then we have Dr. Christopher Yang. He joined us right out of fellowship, where he did a special fellowship in reconstructive urology, doing prosthetics and all sorts of advanced erectile dysfunction.
Making peepees bigger all across the country.
And he worked predominantly in our South Austin office. He's excellent. He has the best ratings of any doctor in the whole practice.
That guy.
Hurts my feelings.
4.8 stars. We're up to 4. We're moving on up.
Our patients do love Dr. Yang, and he also practices out of our Dripping Springs office. And then we have Dr. Lucas Jacobides. He's the newest addition to Jurassic Park.
Urologosaurus.
Urologosaurus. He was with the Baylor Scott & White for a number of years, including their chief of staff, and played such a big role with the Galactic Empire.
Yeah, he ran like the surgery department. He sounds so smart.
And so we're really fortunate to have him. He's an exceptionally great urologist, very personable.
To tell good jokes.
And he speaks Spanish.
He speaks 5 languages, this guy. English, Greek, Spanish, French, and some other 5th one.
I don't know about the French.
Maybe something else, but there's 5.
We'll have to question him on the French.
Maybe he's Russian. I don't know.
He does know the Greek, though. And then we have 5 amazing physician assistant and nurse practitioners. Dustin Fontenot has been with us for a number of years. He does a lot of our men's health. Jason Ramsdell, he was in the Coast Guard.
Please visit our website and see these guys. They have epic beards.
Yes, they have amazing beards. and then we have Heather Lenz. She's the newest PA that has joined us, doing an amazingly bang-up job. Very,
awesome.
Very great. And then, of course, Leonora Brown, who's been with me for 11 years.
You know how you have a kid who's your favorite?
Yes.
I feel like she's your favorite.
She might be my favorite.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to tell everybody your favorite.
No, but
they know
it's
who's
true.
My favorite. And almost entirely the words that come out of her mouth sound like they just came out of my mouth. So I love I love the fact that all of these providers, the care that they have is virtually identical to that which the physicians provide.
And we're looking for more providers. If you're a provider and you want to go into urology, give me a call. Hit me up.
We need a place. Mm-hmm. And then Shefali Ravula. She's our nutritionist and kind of an integrative health specialist. You may not think that urology is the right place to get that integrative health kind of approach, but truth be told, almost every disease process we take care of, the patient's first or second question is, how should they change their lifestyle?
Right. What do I eat?
What do I eat? You know, if you have infertility issues and you know you're struggling to have a child, you're going to make those changes in your diet, in your exercise, in your routine. Mm-hmm. If you're diagnosed with cancer, you're going to want to know what to do instead of just giving you kind of bland, well, you should eat healthier or this or that.
Right. Go Google it.
We have like specific recommendations. We will put you on a program. You will be part of a group of patients that are going through the same thing as you are. And we're really proud of being able to provide that. We have 3 pelvic floor physical therapists, Angela Treadway, Kendall Leip, and Colette Roden. They are amazing. They all have doctorates in physical therapy. And then we always have sexual health medicine and sleep medicine. So if you're looking for a comprehensive approach to your urologic needs, visit the second largest urology group in Austin.
That's right, with the most fun personalities. And everything is intertwined, interconnected. That's why we offer so many amazing, holistic things.
Donna, I thought we would let this segment be some questions that you have about patients that you've seen kind of roaming around or disease process that we take care of?
That's a good question. When I started with you, I was never really, I don't have a large understanding of cancers thank God, knock on wood.
Mm-hmm.
But more specifically, kidney cancer and bladder cancer. I don't think I understand enough about those. So tell me, like, what did you have a patient recently who had bladder cancer that you took through the process, and what does that look like? And what causes it?
It's a great question. So bladder cancer is traditionally a type of cancer called a transitional cell carcinoma. It's the lining of the bladder wall. Those are called transitional cells. The bladder wall is amazing. It can go from small to big. There are a few organs in our body. We have the stomach. We have things that get bigger. We like
to make them bigger.
And so the bladder gets bigger. And so those cells, those transition cells, have to have the ability to stretch out. And the cells that make up the transitional cell epithelium, it exists from the inside of the kidney, through the tubes, the ureters, and then the inner lining of the bladder, and then the first part of the urethra where you pee out of. So so bladder cancer, quote unquote, can exist all the way from the kidney, all the way down the ureters, all the way down under the bladder.
I didn't know that.
And so when you have that type of tumor, fortunately, about 70% will show up, and it's just something that you can easily pluck off or resect or remove.
Show up where? From imaging or from a blood test?
That's a great question. Most often we find bladder cancer because you have blood in the urine.
Okay.
So almost all...
Hematuria.
About 30% of patients that have painless hematuria, that means they don't have any pain and they have blood in the urine, about 30% of them can have bladder cancer.
Okay. So when you go to your PCP and you're just randomly asked to pee in a cup.
Yes.
Is that what the PCP is looking for?
A lot of times they are looking for sugar or they're looking for blood. But if you cannot see it, then your chance of having, if you have blood in the urine, you can't see it, then the chance of having bladder cancer is much lower.
And that's microscopic.
That's microscopic hematuria.
Okay.
And we get a lot of referrals for patients because of microscopic hematuria. But if you can see it and there's no pain, then we worry that you have something more dangerous going on.
Ooh.
We diagnose it with a CAT scan, and we put a camera in your bladder to look around. Oftentimes, that's the cystoscopy.
Mm-hmm.
We do, hundreds of those a month, so they're very commonly performed. Yeah. We're looking for inside your bladder. It looks like almost like a bush that's growing off the side of the bladder.
A bush?
A bush. It looks like a bush.
That's what the cancer looks like?
It looks like a bush, like a pom-pom.
Okay.
And this pom-pom can exist even, like I said, in the kidney or the ureters or the bladder. And then we go and we use special instruments in the operating room to resect it. It's a little cutting loop that we go and cut the tumor out. And what's important about bladder cancer is how deep it goes into the bladder wall. If it doesn't go very deep, then usually just removing it takes care of it. But if it goes deeper, then sometimes we've got to do something more invasive. Even removing the bladder.
Oh, my. So it can spread like any other type of cancer.
That's right.
But you're saying that the cancer cells need to be flexible because it's so stretchy in there.
The cancer cells come from this stretchy skin.
Oh, okay.
Now, what causes cancers, you know, we scientifically think of there's usually a genetic predisposition plus something else. We call it the two-hit hypothesis, that the cells have to be genetically predisposed to cancer. And then some environmental thing that can kind of switch it into cancer mode.
Hmm.
And smoking is the number one risk factor for bladder cancer.
You're saying smoking's bad for you?
Apparently.
Hmm.
And
I better cut that out.
And when you have one type of bladder cancer or one tumor in the bladder, that means the entirety of your whole urinary system
is affected.
So you can get a tumor in the bladder and you have a higher chance of getting that similar tumor in the kidney. If you have one in the kidney, you have a higher chance of having it in the bladder. And so then we have to surveil or look after tumors that develop all throughout the urinary system almost for your entire life.
Oh, my heavens.
So you become a patient of ours forever.
That's why we have so many patients I've seen before so many times.
And we have to look at them over and over again. We have to make sure that they're making those appropriate dietary changes, stop smoking, which is why we... prescribe Chantix in our office for people who are trying to stop smoking.
Right. Does this affect sexual desire and ED issues?
Well, certainly if you smoke, you're probably more likely to have diminished blood flow and things of that nature. But fortunately, the bladder cancer itself does not do that. But being repeatedly instrumented with something in your pee-pee can, certainly...
psychologically,
take some of the fun out.
A little PTSD.
Understanding the role that your nutrition and lifestyle has on your future cancer risk, cancer rate of recurrence, as well as making sure that you're being followed appropriately is a very important job that we have. Bladder cancer is one of the top, I think, six cancers that affect men in the United States. It affects women to a lesser degree, probably something to do with genetics, but something also probably to do with rates of smoking. And if you have blood in the urine that you can see and you've been putting off an evaluation, I would highly encourage you not to put it off any longer.
Don't put it off. Come on in. We'll be happy to help.
You may not like the answers, but Donna, how do people get a hold of us and make an appointment?
You'll like the result, though. Our number is 512-238-0762. You can also send us a question about bladder cancer or anything else you're thinking about to armormenshealth@gmail.com. Our website, of course, is armormenshealth.com. And you can listen to this podcast and all of the others wherever you listen to free podcasts. Thank you, Dr. Mystery.
Thank you, Donna.
The Armour Men's Health Hour is brought to you by urology specialists. For questions or to schedule an appointment, please call 512-238-0762 or online at armormenshealth.com.